Hi, this is Relatively Asian Podcast. I'm Teresa.
And I'm Minnie. And this is episode 33 of our podcast.
Welcome back to the podcast. Last episode, we closed off the three-part series with my friend Lena to talk about Bumble BFF, how the app itself actually works, and how successful it's been for me and Lena. Do we convince Minnie to give it a try? Check out that episode to hear more. In honor of Aries season, this episode, we're going to spice things up and talk about our hot takes. So keep listening to hear more. Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. I can't wait for this episode.
Welcome back.
I just want to preface about yes, hot please. Takes. So, you know what? I just don't want anyone to be offended. And I just felt the need to preface that, you know, a hot take is a hot take. It's like not the popular opinion, right? And so don't come for us if you don't agree. And I do just want to say that obviously when it comes to like having a hot take, we're obviously generalizing situations and not considering like the nuances in general. Like also not me generalizing, but like most things are like case by case. So just wanted to throw that out there. True. We're just generalizing. So maybe like our first hot take is just the fact that we have hot takes. Cause in general, we shouldn't be generalizing, right? I'm spiraling. Okay.
Oh my God.
Just wanted
Wait,
to
is
preface.
That a hot take? I didn't know that. I didn't know people didn't have hot takes. I didn't know that was a hot take in itself.
I don't know. Well, I mean, for an episode where we're just like purely talking about hot takes, I feel like, you know, it's just like, it's going to maybe ruffle some feathers. Like not everyone's going to agree. Like that's the point, right?
That's true.
I feel hot takes are divisive. You either like 100% agree or you're like very much so against it. So
that's true.
We're just going to have a fun conversation because why not? And we both prepared our own list of hot takes. So I'm also like, I'm curious to see like if we agree with each other or not.
I'm curious too.
Yeah. Some we've talked about, some we haven't. And then for me specifically, I like looked up some videos. Like I tried to I looked for like inspo too. So like I like pulled from like,
oh my God, I did not do that research.
Well, I'm just saying like, I didn't like come up with all of these. And also like I pulled ones that I think like I agree with or just like would be interesting. I was like curious maybe to know like your opinion, if that makes sense. So,
okay. Interesting. I'm curious where you pulled it from. Cause I also looked up like Reddit, like, hot takes or whatever. And then people were so boring. Like their hot takes were just like they were like social media hot takes or like TV show hot takes something stupid. And I was like, give me something that's real life. And then I asked my brother, I was like, what's your hot take? Mm. And then he was like, chicken breast is better than chicken thigh. That was his hot take.
That's a hot take.
Yeah, but I was like, is that it? Like, I wanted something more spicy.
No, I get it. You're like, the topic itself can only be like so spicy, but that is a hot take for that topic.
No, I know. It definitely is a hot take, but I was like, give me something more.
And like light meat over dark meat? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I disagree already.
Yeah,
but
obviously.
Anyways, curious what you found online.
There's someone here that actually, I mean, I just met up with her last night. She also prefers like light meat over dark meat. And so like, you know, like the dish khao soi,
that is interesting.
Like the curry noodle.
I love
right.
Khao soi.
So we went to a place in our neighborhood. So my favorite spot is, I live in Seattle. And so my favorite spot is for khao soi is from Baitong. That's like, and there's like a location by the airport that I like stand by, and they use like a big juicy piece of like thigh or like drumstick, and that's pretty common. Right,
love that. Yeah,
but then like her and I went to this place in our neighborhood and they served just like pieces of like chunks of like chicken breast, you know. It's like kind of dry already and it's not soaking up any of the flavor. So then when I brought that up, I'm like, oh, that's why I prefer the other place. And she was like, oh, that's funny, like that this is why I prefer this place because of the chicken breast. So you just like,
so interesting.
Yeah. It is interesting. So,
but wait, so she likes dry meat. Is that what you're saying?
Or she just likes lighter. She leans towards like lighter meats, and she also hates like pork belly. Cause it's like just too heavy.
Okay.
So
that,
it makes
that shed some light. Yeah. That makes more sense then. Okay. Mm-hmm. Cause my brother's reasoning was more like he feels like chicken breast tastes better if you cook it right. But like, then for me, I'm like, I don't know what cooked right chicken breast tastes like, because I feel like even when the chicken breast is like not cooked like dry, it still doesn't taste as flavorful to me as thigh.
Yeah.
But your friend seems to have like more of it based on like health reasons or yeah. like yeah. just yeah,
personal exactly. Palate.
Yeah.
yeah. So, that's fair.
Anyways,
we digress.
Why don't you start?
yeah, me? Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I don't know what like topic we want to start on, because I have some that are like social media related. I have like travel related. I have like,
I feel like
you're friendship related.
I have a bunch listed, but I just don't know if they're hot takes or they're just like conversation topics. So yeah. Why don't you just say, you can just start anywhere and then talk about it.
I'll start with one that I like posted on my story recently, like Kindle over physical books.
Oh,
I think that could be a hot take.
Yeah, that's a hot take.
Someone actually commented back like hot take. And then when I saw like our mutual friend Bessie in person, she also was like, I saw your story. has
and
a whole
she
bookshelf.
Books.
Yeah, because she doesn't even have a Kindle. She has literally a whole bookshelf
she
of
has
physical books. She collects the same book.
She loves books.
Exactly.
Literally
exactly. like special edition versions of the same physical book. So I'm like just the complete opposite. And so I'm ready to die on this hill. For me, I prefer Kindle because, okay, here's the thing. Sure, physical book, there's people like the smell of paper. People like, you know, the tangible, like flipping of the pages. That I feel like it ends there. Like, what else is the benefit? For a Kindle, I love how it's literally the size of like, it's smaller than an iPad. It's like featherweight. You can stick it anywhere. You can bring it anywhere. A lot of the books I've been reading are 800 pages. That's a heavy ass book. Mm-hmm. Like I don't want to carry that anywhere. I don't want to crease, like force open the pages. Also, I do a lot of my reading in like areas that are not optimal in light or like at nighttime in my bed. And so I can adjust the lightness exactly what I want, exactly how cool or warm it is. And I can adjust the font size too. And it tracks my progress for me too. So I know exactly my progress in the book, like my progress in the chapter, etc. So I just don't understand like
what the appeal is.
I also just think it's better for your eyes probably. Because if you're straining your eyes because you're reading at a weird slant, you know, with a physical book or the lighting is not great or the font size is like too small and you're squinting, like those are all things that are going to hurt your eyesight. Whereas like with a Kindle, you don't have that problem. And Amazon literally has their proprietary like blue light technology purposely meant so that like when you read on a Kindle, it's not like harming your eyes. It's like different from an iPad or an iPhone. And on that topic, you can sync it. It's via an app. So you can sync it on your iPad or iPhone or laptop and read it anywhere. So I don't understand. Then that is
passion.
The passion. Yeah. Anyway, that's it. That's basically it.
Wait, can I add to that?
Okay.
Add my opinion.
Yeah. Only if you agree. Just kidding. Okay. One more thing. Okay. Sorry. One more thing of like, I see where physical books are nice. Like, so with Kindle, even if you purchase a Kindle copy, it's hard. You can't like share it with anyone. So you can't like trade. Mm. I don't know. But then like a physical book, obviously, right? Like you can lend that to friends. And so that's like nice, I guess.
I guess. Okay. I mean, I definitely agree with you. I mean, okay. Yeah. Teresa actually got me a Kindle for my birthday. So nice. And it's so funny because, well, I mean, I think we talked about this like earlier, maybe it was last year. I forget. The recording schedule's way off, but I remember you talking about how you had a goal to like read more books. Mm-hmm. Remember in the very beginning when you first started reading, ACOTAR, I don't even know how to say it. Is that how you say it?
Yeah. ACOTAR.
And then you bought me the first book and I read it, but I feel like because I didn't have a Kindle and like I was very dependent on paper books, like it prevents you from moving forward in a series unless you have the book. And I don't know about people who listen, but like, I don't go to the library. Like,
same.
I mean, there's libraries around, but like, I don't go to the library. Like,
it's also not
that
safe.
As a kid.
Probably.
It's not. And I'm I don't want to touch grimy books.
No, literally in Seattle, so like that's where all the homeless
disgusting.
People live. Like,
it's disgusting. And so, you bought me the first book. I was like, oh, this is a really good book. Like I finished it super fast. And then I stopped reading it for like 6 months because like I was debating like if I should buy the other book. And okay, the thing with books is, I like the physical look of it. Like, I think it's cool to have. And it's like, it's like nice to be like, oh, I read this. And like to your point, I think you can easily give it to friends. Mm-hmm. Like you've let me borrow your books. Like Bessie's let me borrow so many of her books too or whatever. But I feel like the accessibility is not there.
Yeah.
And also it's pretty expensive to like read books because you have to either buy it or you have to go to the library. And then I feel like for the Kindle, I mean, I'm not promoting, you know,
illegal stuff, but activity. Like,
but you know, there's options. Should you not want to buy certain things?
Yes.
But like, no, even for specifically for those books, like ever since you bought me the Kindle, I finished reading the trilogy like immediately just because I felt like there wasn't like a barrier for me to like continue the books.
Yeah.
So that's one point. And then the other point I really, really agree with is the reading in like dark light. Cause I also felt like every time I read like a paper book, I would always have to wait until like it's daylight to read. Cause I would have to use like natural sunlight and it's like, and I already have horrible vision. And actually, fun fact, it's not fun for me, but
fun.
The reason why my eyes are so bad is because when I was younger, I would read books in the dark.
Same. And on like angles, like very, just horrible.
Yeah. So then like, yeah, I think the Kindle, the fact that it has like different lighting settings, like a dark mode, a light mode, is a lot better. And so I feel like overall Kindle just has like much better accessibility, but I can understand why people like having that paper book. But I just feel like if we're really talking about like the purpose of reading, I feel like a Kindle is better.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
Yep. Totally. Yeah. I do think like collecting books, like special books, is different than just like reading as a hobby.
Yeah, exactly.
So for reading, for the day-to-day reading, I think Kindle is just more convenient. The better option.
Agree.
So that's my first one.
Okay.
You go.
You know, it's so funny when you were like, oh, I posted this on my story recently. I thought you were talking about the toilet flushing. I was like, oh, we're going to talk about that?
That's a hot take for David, my husband.
Yeah.
Let me just out him. Let me clock him. He'll never listen to this.
The 10 people that didn't.
Literally. Oh, I wouldn't. If someone wants to pay me, just kidding.
Oh my God.
Literally. Yeah. Wow. That was reveal. That was revealing.
I know. That was. Really hope no one else does that. Anyways, should I say one or do you want to say another one?
Wait, why? We're going back and forth.
Okay. Now I feel like mine are good. Okay. Well, speaking of stories recently, I also posted, I thought a hot take was.
I know what you're going to say. No, you say.
I feel like omakase is not worth the experience and money. So to preface, my husband took me out. Phil took me out to omakase for dinner for my birthday, which is really sweet. And I also wanted to go. Like I've been like hinting that I wanted to go to omakase place. And everyone talks about omakase, especially in this, I don't know about Seattle, but especially in the city, there are so many omakase places. Like they're like popping up like all the time. And there's a lot of places that are super affordable too, like under $100 per person. Mm-hmm. And so for me, I actually went to, and this was a couple years back, but my first omakase experience was actually one of the affordable ones. So it was like roughly like $60-$65 per person. Like not expensive at all. And yeah, it was like just like what you expected it to be. But I just felt like after I ate it, I just like didn't feel any different as if like I felt like I was eating all you can eat sushi, but like one nigiri roll at a time.
Yeah.
And like it was good. Like don't get me wrong. Like there was nothing bad about it, but I just feel like for the cost, it wasn't worth, like at that time, like I just felt like, okay, it was nice to experience. But then I thought to myself recently, I was like, oh, maybe it's because we were paying like under $100. So the quality can only be so much better. Mm-hmm. But like, let's say you pay more money, then maybe it's like a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
So then like Phil ended up taking us to like a mid-tier one.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like $150 per person, which again is like very affordable because in the city there's like upwards of like $200 to $300 per person.
Yeah.
But he knows that I'm like psycho and like if he paid for that, like I'd be annoyed because I'm just not that kind of person. So we went to this place and they had really good reviews. And again, the experience was like very good. Like the vibes are really good. Like the whole like presentation was good. Everything was good. But I just left feeling hungry. Mm-hmm. And I also feel like the whole experience was like 2 hours long. So obviously there's like, you know, the preparation aspect between each of the nigiri rolls that they give you. And I'm the kind of person, actually, I don't know if we talked about this, but I eat really fast and I'm just a ravenous person. Like I just want to stuff my face immediately.
Yeah.
And so I feel like the pauses in between, like I was just like really hungry. And even though like each piece was like really good and I enjoyed it for what it was, like, for example, one of the pieces that we had was sea urchin, which I typically hate because all the ones I've had are like at cheap places. So it's like very, very salty and like tastes like the sea.
Like fishy. Yeah.
But yeah, like really fishy. But then this place, they prepared it and it was like really good. Like I was like really surprised by like what it's supposed to taste like. Like I had no idea it was supposed to taste like that. But again, I was just like, wow, like this is just not worth it. And then what's so funny is like, I feel like the whole entire time we were sitting there and it was like Phil's first time too. So he also was like, oh yeah, it's like good. But he also, again, wasn't full. And we both left feeling like, cause afterwards, like at the end of the day, at the end of the night, we also got two drinks and then like with tip and everything, it was like well over $400.
Yeah. Damn.
So it was like not like a cheap meal. We were like still hungry. And then the funniest part was we were sitting next to like, these two white friends and they were there for like, so we were sitting next to an Asian couple on our left and then two white friends on our right. And it was all of our birthdays. Like there was one person in each select, like double that was like someone's birthday. So we were like, oh my God, like Aries, like April 7th, like let's go. But then like, it was funny because the people on the right, they were like two guys celebrating the birthday and it was so casual for them. And they were like the only like duo that like ordered more pieces. And they got like refills in their drinks. And then the whole entire time, like we were eating, I was just listening to them talk because I thought it was so fast. Well, first of all, they were talking super loud and it was like a very small place. But also the whole entire time, they were like, oh, oh my God, amazing. Like, oh, I can't even. So good. Yeah. Like just, and like giving the chef like all these like, you know, compliments. And like, which is super, super sweet. But I was like, oh my God, are they just like easily satisfied? Like,
that's so funny.
I don't know. Like, I've just never felt that way where I'm like consistently praising like the chef or whatever. Or at least I felt like for this specifically, like I've had better food where I felt like more of that. And so I don't know. Anyway, so basically I posted that on my story and I was actually surprised, but so many people responded and they said they agreed with me.
Yeah. That's interesting because, I mentioned it in the car today, in the car with Dave yesterday, like that we're doing this episode and I was like, oh, Minnie's going to mention the omakase. And then he was like, that's not a hot take.
What? Wait, that's so funny because I feel like so many people, okay, because you know there are people that post like every single sushi piece that they eat at omakases. And I feel like I see so many of those and like so many people like taking pictures of their omakase saying like, oh my God, it was like the best meal ever. And like, and my brother too, like he had like amazing omakase experience. Like when they come to the city, they like go to omakase. Like, like I know more than like a couple people that have actively praised omakase. So I was actually like waiting for people to like tell me like, oh my God, like what a hater again. But then people didn't. I was really surprised. But is that not a hot take? I'm confused now.
Like hot take being what? Just like omakase is overhyped or it's not worth it? Like what exactly is your take?
Like my, I assumed based on like what I had previously seen on social media that everybody loved omakase.
Like loves
like
it.
Like it was a great experience and well worth it. That's what I thought.
Oh, no, I think it depends. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. I think there are people who do feel like the value is there for them, you know, like if you particularly, because I don't know, I'm like a big, Dave, I have a lot of people in my life who are like foodies. And so they love like an omakase and like, they're willing to spend a lot of money on one meal and they like, you know, a tasting menu and like a kaiseki and like all the things. I think, so I've learned for myself, I have like very particular preferences for a tasting menu and I'm typically like not impressed. Like I can only name like one or two places where I was actually impressed. I also have my preferences for omakase. So for me specifically, I know it's not worth it to spend more than like $60 on omakase for me. Meaning when it's like just sushi. Yeah. And I would prefer an omakase, a casual. Seattle has a lot of like casual omakase spots where you just go to like a normal sushi joint and you might get like an omakase, like just like a chef's selection of like 10 or 12 like nigiri or something like that, you know? Like I'm open to like that format. Like I typically, for myself, I'm like, it's a waste of money on me because I know I won't enjoy it as for the price that we're paying. I prefer like a kaiseki, which is like also chef's choice and they bring it out one by one, but you have like an app and then you have a sashimi course and then a couple cooked dishes, like a rice course and then like a dessert and with like maybe like palate. Yeah. Palate cleansers in between. I just can't eat that much like raw fish. So for me, I'd be like more willing to spend like $100, $120 on like a kaiseki potentially versus like an omakase. And then also okay. when it comes to like specifically tasting menus and like culinary experiences, I just don't think omakase for me, the experience for me doesn't match that price point. Like I would go to like somewhere like Alenia, like we're planning to go to Chicago in June. And like one of like James Beard Award, I think, or Michelin star, like Alenia, like that, like fancy, like modern spot. I would be willing to like drop money there because I think it's like more of an experience and there's like like experimental parts of like each dish and it's more like entertainment thing too versus just like exactly what you're eating. Okay. So that's like my personal take. And I just think everyone is like different and like for their preferences. Okay. And so for you, it doesn't surprise me like that you feel that way based on like your willingness to spend for food and also like how your expectations might scale with like the amount of money you're spending. It's for you specifically. Yeah.
I guess like I'm surprised because I think my perception was based on the fact that like I've never seen anyone say otherwise. So I've only seen positive experiences at omakase, like whether on my own like social media, like on Instagram or even like on TikTok or just like in general, like I've only heard like good things that even from people I even personally know. So I think for me, my perception was always like, oh my God, like people love omakase. Cause even like
it's
Phil's
the greatest
friends,
thing ever.
Like even Phil's friends were like praising it, like, you know, talking about it. Like they would go like for a special date night or, you know, an anniversary, things like that.
I think it is occasion based. Like, I don't think you have to love something to feel like, oh, I have a trip to the city. There's a lot of omakase spots there. Let's check out a new one. Like, I think it's still like, I don't think you have to love it in order to like go is what I'm saying.
Interesting. Okay. Cause I actually feel like you would have to love it to go. Cause I don't
really.
Yeah. Because I'm like, why would you go otherwise? Cause it's not cheap. Like unless you're talking about like a place that's like $60. Like,
I see.
Yeah. That's whatever. But like,
you're talking about like higher tier.
Like, yeah. I'm
like when you're spending $200 per person.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Like you have to like,
then I agree with you
to some regard.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. I agree with you. I thought you were just saying in general, like, why would you do if you're specifically saying like, okay, your final bill is going to be at least $200 per person. Then I agree. You should definitely like it a lot to spend that. Yeah.
No. Yeah. Cause I mean, that's the case for us. Right. Cause I feel like the place when I went to, it was $60. I didn't leave feeling like, oh my God, I just wasted all this money and time.
Cause you didn't
like,
spend
I felt
as,
like,
yeah.
Cause I didn't spend as much money. So, and I, and the food wasn't bad either. Like the nigiri rolls weren't bad. But I feel like in this case, because I've heard only positive experiences, that's where my perception was from. Mm. But actually, it's super enlightening because I would have assumed that you were an omakase person, but now I know that you're not. And now I'm hearing that apparently a lot of people aren't. So
you're like, that's the norm.
Like, okay, that makes me feel better. I don't know. Because I've never heard anyone say otherwise. Yeah. So I was like, okay. I just assumed that. But that's interesting to know. Yeah. And I also am the kind of person where I would agree with you too. Like if I was going to spend that much money on a meal, like I would want it to be like, special in another way. Like either like, Michelin star or like something that's like really fancy. Mm-hmm. Like it's not like I'm not opposed to spending that much money. Obviously it would have to be for like a real, you know, a special occasion.
Yeah.
But I think in this case it was just, it just made me realize like, I don't think I'm the kind of person who appreciates that. Whereas obviously there might be people who do.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on. My next one. Okay. I guess we're on the topic of food. This can be a quick one. I feel my hot take is like Yelp kind of is over.
Whoa.
It's a hot take.
Okay. That's like a hot take.
Or like the age of Yelp or I think so. Okay. There was a point in time where I would go to Yelp for like everything. And I would like base my like decision on like Yelp reviews and like the photos there. Yelp was just like my go-to, right? For like recs and like ratings or whatever. But in the past couple of years, as I like have moved to a different city and I've like traveled more and like, you know, like people don't use Yelp as much in like every single place that I've gone. And there's just not a bunch of reviews there. I no longer use Yelp and I just like use Google, to bookmark a place. And I don't I don't even read reviews anymore. I just like look at the photos and I like take a look at the menu and then I just like decide for myself. Cause I think like people on Yelp can be a little bit self-important and also like overly critical or just like, I don't know. It's like everyone thinks they're like a critic and they're also like rating service and like hospitality or, you know, like vibes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But for me, I just like, I don't, that's not my go-to anymore.
Interesting. Okay. That is a hot take.
Yeah.
I mean, I do agree with you. I think that Yelp isn't widely used everywhere.
Yeah.
So like, for example, when I'm traveling, I'll like tend to always use like Google reviews, especially like if you're going like out of the US, like nobody uses Yelp. Like that's not even a thing. But I feel like even in like, I guess, more suburban places, Yelp isn't used as much as like the city.
It's not. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, yeah, I agree with you. Like in those cases, I definitely use Google reviews as well, but I'm still like a huge Yelp person. I don't know if that's attributed to the fact that like in New York, people still use Yelp a lot, but I think for me, when I look at Yelp reviews, they're always like, yeah, I guess more critical than Google reviews. And I feel like when I look at places that I specifically have gone to, like I will always lean towards agreeing with the Yelp review versus the Google review. And I feel like Google reviews, at least in my experience, are like really hyperinflated. Like I feel like every place has like above a 4.1. Like it's just
that's
like,
true.
It's like so rare to even like see a place under 4. And that's usually because like it really, really sucks. So for me, I'm like, that doesn't give me any information. And I feel like I do look at reviews and deciding like whether or not I want to go somewhere. But I will say, I do agree with you. I think people on Yelp can be very hypercritical and like rating every single aspect. So actually for me, I look at Yelp and I always filter like the newest reviews first instead of like whatever is promoted or like highlighted.
Yeah.
And I always like read them and skim them and see like the reason why they're like giving it like, you know, they give it 2 stars or like 5 stars or whatever. So I feel like it's, yeah, I can see where you're coming from, but I think, yeah, I personally still use Yelp because I just feel like it gives more like of an accurate take of like the places that I'm going to.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I think people do still, I just don't think it's as widespread as it used to be. Yeah, I feel like there was like a peak or at least maybe just everyone I was surrounded by and like across the board, you know, Yelp was like the only platform to kind of like, what's new, what's around, what's like worth checking out. And I think now maybe now I just don't even really like look into reviews too much. I just like, yeah.
Wow. That's new information. Okay.
All right, you go.
Okay. Let's see. I think my hot take, I don't even know if these are hot takes now. I feel like going to an Ivy League college for undergrad is useless and a waste of money.
You sound like an Asian parent.
No, because they want you to go to an Ivy League. Well, I want to preface, like, it depends on, like, each profession or, like, major or whatever. But I would say, like, generally, I think it's useless. And I think growing up, especially, like, in an area where, like, it was highly, like, academic focused, and there were a lot of, like, minorities, everyone was, like, really, really, like, gung-ho about getting into, like, an Ivy League. And it was just, like, it meant so much.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you were seen as, like, very, very successful. And, like, your parents would brag about you, et cetera. And I feel like at that time, like that's what I personally believed as well, like as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like over time, again, I don't even know if this is a hot take, but this is just something that like I've always thought, but not always thought, but like post-grad, I guess. I just feel like it's a complete waste of money. I feel like no one cares where you went to for undergrad. I think it only matters where you go for grad school.
Yeah.
And I feel like people like love to look at the prestige of like, oh, I went to like Princeton, I went to Harvard or whatever, X, Y, Z.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, it's like those people get the same jobs as someone who went to like Rutgers or like, you know, University of Maryland. Like it doesn't really matter. And I feel like you're paying like 10 times more at like an Ivy League or a private school than going to like a public school. And I personally just like think it's more about like who you are as a person and what you can like bring to an interview or like, you know, like what you do with your free time that like really sets you apart. And I just, I don't know. I just never, I don't get the appeal of that. And
I agree with you. I think also to your point, like people who are book smart and good at school aren't necessarily like smart in life and vice versa.
Yeah.
So for sure there's like, you know, it could set you up to a base level or set you up, you know, to have a certain foundation. And I think to your point too, it depends on like the career path. Like for any corporate job, pretty much, I feel like it doesn't matter as much. I don't really know if it matters when you are like trying to become a doctor or something. Like if like your undergrad
school matters. It doesn't matter.
I think that, well, it's interesting that you say that because I grew up with being taught that like, or the general consensus was like, your final school is what matters. So it's like, if you do undergrad and then like, exactly what you said, like a grad school, like the grad school name matters more than the undergrad. It's like, you don't want to go to Ivy League under like, go. I mean, you don't want to say like you go to like Rutgers, not or Rutgers. If you go to like, I don't know, like Harvard, undergrad, but then you get like a master's from Rutgers. Like, that's not like a great look, you know, like basically shame. Like exactly what you, like exactly what you said, like your grad school.
Yeah.
Like school is what matters. So that's what I was like also.
That's so interesting.
That was like what I was like influenced to think growing up. Which seems to be
okay. I mean, that's right. I was not influenced to think that way.
And then I also think, however, I think it depends. And again, like, so I agree with your hot take overall, but then obviously there's like the case by case. I think like, yeah, if you're so rich, right, and you have the option between two, and like, I don't know, maybe you're a trust fund baby, and like, yeah, you can casually drop like 300K on undergrad at an Ivy League. Go for it.
Like, oh yeah,
yeah, I mean,
that's
obviously
completely different.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
but like, don't like go into like, yeah, 300K worth of debt.
To debt,
literally, to go to it. Yeah,
yeah. And like, don't force your parents to pull out a second mortgage.
Exactly.
For you to go to like Harvard. Yeah.
Yeah, and then also depends. Like, it's like, what are you studying there? Are you going there for one of their main programs? Are you going for like, you know, like a nothing degree that is not going to get you, that's not going to translate into like a network or a real job.
Oh my God. I thought of something else, but
sure. Just say it.
I feel like, oh God, I really hope no one's listening if this applies to you, but I feel like people in school who had a communications degree, like, okay, maybe we can, I don't know.
No,
I just feel
it.
Like, what is that? Like, what is that? It's meaningless. And I feel like people who have like,
just say it.
I don't, even psychology degrees, I'm like, I don't understand. And you know what bugs me? And this is maybe because like I'm an Asian, like, you know, child raised by immigrant parents, and I'm brainwashed, whatever. I get it. But like, I just hate when people get like useless like majors in college and then graduate and then they're like, WTF, like, what do I do with life? And I'm like, well, maybe you should have asked yourself that before you majored in communications. Mm. Also, I hate when people who have like a BS degree complain about like school and studying. I just don't think that's valid. And like, specifically for communications, I actually took a communications course in college.
Mm-hmm, me too. Yeah.
And intro, like, I thought it was like, yeah. And it was just like, I was concerned. Like, I was deeply concerned that this was a class. Like, and like the fact that like some people that I knew, like, I don't even think that they were like worried that they couldn't get an A. And I was just so concerned because I remember they were like talking about, what does it mean to communicate? And like, communication, the definition of this is blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Message sent equals message received.
Yeah. And I was just like, how was this a class? And like the fact that like it's a major is, I don't know. I just feel like, especially nowadays, I feel like kids, okay, this is divulging, but like, I just hate kids who are like irresponsible. Like, okay, never mind. I'm going to stop. But anyways, yes. I don't know what you were saying, but that is my hot take.
Yeah. Just like certain majors are not worth, or certain degrees, majors, I guess, are not worth having. Is that your hot take? Your secondary
hot take? Well, my hot take was the Ivy League thing.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
now
yeah.
I will, yeah,
on the topic of majors, like what you study. Yeah.
Yeah. I think certain majors are completely worthless and it,
okay.
Yeah.
What about people who use those majors as a layup to like grad school? Like, I feel like a lot of people, like at Rutgers, a lot of people who went and got into teaching and got like the master's of education from Rutgers did like a psych undergrad or like a comms or sociology or like, you know.
Yeah, no, I think that's different. I'm not thinking about that. I'm thinking about the people who didn't have like a plan.
And then are like, oh my God, what do I do with my life? And
yeah.
Like, it's because you studied this. Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, because I know people who like studied psychology, for example.
You're thinking about like the outcome. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Because obviously, like, I know that teachers use like a specific base for their major and then they go to like education. That's different.
Right.
Yeah. I'm talking about like,
I get
the
that.
People who didn't do that.
I think another major is like econ. Like, a lot of people just study econ and it's like, you can go and econ's a little bit more substantial, I think, and more rigorous, compared to, like psych or sociology. But with that too, I feel like there's a potential to end up in a similar place where you're like, okay, like what is my actual skill set? Exactly. Like what? Yeah. And you can turn it into something, but yeah, it just requires you to be a lot more ambitious on your own and figure it out. Whereas like other majors are very clearly laid out, like what your career potential is, you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah, I agree.
I don't think it's everyone's personality to pursue sort of like a open-ended major like that. Yeah. I think you have to be like ambitious and driven to like,
yeah.
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 Mm-hmm. Cool. Okay. Interesting. Note.
Oh my God.
Okay. What? Let's switch gears to a different topic. Okay.
This is a juicy one.
I don't know if this is a hot take also. This is a trip related, like travel related.
Okay.
I think that planners should get precedent on choosing their rooms and bed, and that couples should not get precedent or preferential treatment over like a room.
100%. 100. Okay. Keep going. Yeah.
That's it. that's literally it. Sorry.
You know what's so funny? I mean, okay. Do you want to add anything?
No. Let me think. No, I don't. Go ahead. I feel like you have a lot to say on that.
No, you know, on that, like I obviously like we prepared like our hot take list, right? And then I also just like wrote like the fact that people don't have awareness. That's not a hot take, but just like a realization as I've gone through life.
That's kind of a hot take. I think that's a hot take.
Really? Okay.
Sorry. Well, Let me just interject really quickly just on that.
Yeah.
I think it is a hot take because I think you and I have had just so many conversations where we're just like dumbfounded by people's like behaviors and actions sometimes. And we're like, how did they think that was like the best thing to do? Or like, you know, the most considerate or whatever thing to do. Mm-hmm. So that is a hot take because I think everyone is delusional into not delusional. Sorry. That's like, I think everyone views themselves as being highly aware and like treating other people fairly and always doing the right thing, obviously. Cause then like, why would you do something unless you felt like it was the right thing to do? So that is a hot take.
That's true. Okay. Yeah. True. All the hours of conversation we've had about this. Too.
Literally.
I guess like, I don't know, maybe it's hard for me to believe that this is truly like a thing. Like people don't have awareness, but I mean, going back to like your main point about the travel thing, I completely agree with that. And the reason why I was like, oh my God, semi-passionate is because I've definitely heard the reverse where people feel like they have an, like, like especially couples, like they have a right to choose like the best room, you know, or like
absolutely
to choose
not.
Like, yeah, like the room that like, you know, like has the biggest bed for them or whatever, XYZ. And like, it just pisses me off because I'm like, what right do you have? And especially for, I mean, we've had an episode about like, traveling. You know, planning and like going on group trips or whatever. I'm like, everyone knows there's always going to be people that don't plan. Mm-hmm. And you know, at the end of the day, it's like, that's fine. Cause as long as the people in the group aren't bothered by that, like whatever, to each their own. But I just feel like on top of that, like if you were not to plan and then go into an environment and then feel like you have the right to choose
entitled
like,
almost.
The best route.
Yeah.
Yeah. Entitled. And like, I've heard stories about this like many of times and like, I don't know, like, I feel like for me, like if anything, like I'll walk into that room and be like, oh, you have to give like the best room to the person who planned it. Like, it doesn't matter whether they're like with like a significant other or by themselves, like they should have first pick. And I don't know. It's just, it baffles me that that isn't common sense. You know?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. That's right. The hot take.
You go.
Okay. So my next hot take is when you're dating or married, your SO isn't automatically invited to things. As in,
let me explain
this. I feel like when people get married, immediately everyone just assumes that you're just going to go everywhere with your SO. Okay. Mm-hmm. Obviously not everyone, but I would say the majority of people feel like, oh, your SO is just naturally going to come, or they'll invite your SO, or sometimes they might not even invite your SO, but then you'll just bring your SO like by default because you think they're invited. And I feel like maybe we're in the minority in this because I also talked to someone else about this and they're also like confused, but I don't know. I feel like in general, a lot of people who are married specifically, like they love being around their SO, which is great. And I'm not saying that like I don't, but I feel like a lot of people just naturally, and even me personally experiencing this, it's like, for example, I'll be hanging out with like a group of friends and Phil won't be friends with any of them. Like they have never met and like he, you know, they're not like close friends either. So there's no like urgency from my end where I'm like, oh my God, I really want him to spend time with like you, right? The group of friends. Mm-hmm. And then they'll just naturally like either be like, oh, like you should tell him to come, or like he, or like people just like bring somebody, even if they're not invited in their circumstance. And I don't know. I just think it's really interesting because I feel like I don't operate under that assumption. Yeah. Oh, and then I have like other friends where they'll even have a birthday party and they'll only invite me. Like the invite will be like, oh, like, are you free on this day? Like come to my mm-hmm. birthday. And I'll be like, oh yeah, I'm free. And then like come like the week before, they'll be like, oh, so you and Phil are coming, right? And then I'm like, wait, what? Like Phil's supposed to come? Like, and then he's like, oh, obviously, like you guys are married. And then for me, I'm like, what? Because I don't automatically assume that he's invited to everything, especially if he's not even friends with that person.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know if that's a hot take or just like this is my personal experience, but I've just noticed around people that I'm around that like people generally just like assume that you're kind of like, you know, attached together as like a one mm-hmm. invite, mm-hmm. but I never assume that.
Yeah.
And I also don't want people to assume that either.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's nothing wrong with just asking like, hey, can I bring so-and-so? Cause like mm-hmm. usually like you would never say no. Right. So it doesn't really matter, but
yeah,
I just think it's really fascinating that people just, they won't even extend the invite sometimes, or mm-hmm. they'll just like feel like they can just
assume
that person.
Right.
And I just don't agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you. If I'm hosting something, then I, in my invite, I'll either put, you know, I think it's just good to lay it out clearly. Like in the description, you can say like, feel free to bring a friend or your significant other, then cool. Right. Like
yeah.
it's that mm-hmm. kind of event. Otherwise, if it's like more intimate, then I'll always say like, oh, you and partner's name. Like,
yeah.
It's, I think, yeah, like it has to be very clear, like if the partner is included or not. So I agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. My next one is around social media and generally just, these are like kind of small things. I don't have a lot to say, but, I just think like normalize like unfollowing and or muting people, influencers, etc. if you're just like not wanting to see their content. And I feel like you can always like change that decision later on. But if like in your specific season of life, like it's not positive for you to see their posts, then it's like just normalize, like basically like curating exactly like you know your feed and like what you're wanting to see. And then on the topic of social media too, my hot take is that I don't think you always have to like cut all ties with an ex after you break up. So whether that's like unfriending them on Facebook, unfollowing them on social media, deleting their phone number, I don't know what else is there, Snapchat, etc. I just don't think it's like you always have to like cut all ties.
So do you feel like there are specific situations where you should, or you just think in general like you don't have to?
I think it's like case by case, obviously. Like if it was super messy of a breakup, like if it was not really mutual, or like, you know, like the ex is like crossing boundaries and like communication, or you know, like all the things. Mm-hmm. If it like really bothers like your current partner, then I think it's worth like thinking, you know, maybe like unfollowing or whatever. But I just don't think like across the board, like once you break up, it means like you have to like cut out all ties.
Whereas, I see.
Whereas I feel like some people think like, oh, like that's just what you should do. Like it's very black and white to some people.
You should always unfollow, unfriend.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're saying in the cases where like your partner might like vocalize like, hey, I'm uncomfortable, like that's fine to unfollow or like whatever, XYZ reason. But then you're saying specifically for people who don't even care, mm-hmm. but they just feel like as soon as you break up, you have to unfollow, like regardless.
Yeah. I don't think it's inherently disrespectful to like your future partner if you like still follow an ex.
Okay. I see.
Yeah. Whereas I think some people think inherently that's just like not good to do.
I mean, I do think it's case by case.
I agree
with you in the sense that like, I feel like as long as you're willing to unfollow, if it does bother your partner for whatever reason,
yeah.
then it's like, okay. Yeah. But then I do agree there. I don't think there's a blanket statement that says like, oh, you broke up, like you have to unfollow. Cause mm-hmm, I also don't think it's that big of a deal.
Like I
don't think it means
like you don't have to make a big deal out of it. Exactly.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. Well, let me just add one more hot take.
Okay.
That's really quick. I don't know if it's a hot take, but I feel like tipping culture has gotten out of hand.
Oh my God. I 100% agree.
Like it
Thank
is
Thank you
just,
for saying something. Like, Thank you.
And the fact is, it not only has it gotten out of hand,
100%.
I feel like people feel like almost ashamed or embarrassed to admit that it's gotten out of hand. Like,
I feel that way.
Like, almost like if you say it, then people are going to be like, that person's cheap, you know, like, what a cheapo.
Oh, you're not supporting like the service industry, service workers, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. It's just infuriating. And the reason why, again, I don't know if this is applicable in Seattle, but I noticed in New York.
Oh, it is.
Because you know how receipts, like now they'll have like the number is always calculated for you in terms of like tipping percentage. I will literally go to places and sometimes they won't even have 20% as the smallest amount. They'll literally have like 22, 25, 28.
Oh my God.
I've seen like 30%.
Are you kidding
me?
And
I'm like, dude, like this is like
BFFR.
And then, and then the fact that like we even have to like decide whether we need a tip for like getting like a smoothie or like getting like a coffee or like a cookie. Like, I'm like, what service are you providing me other than 100%, the job? Like,
literally.
And I don't know. I just feel like in general, tipping is something that I already feel like shouldn't be like the customer's responsibility.
Yeah.
You know, and I think even like more recently since I went on my honeymoon and stuff like that, I was just thinking the other day that like a lot of things in the US are like very expensive now, right? Especially living in a city, very, very expensive to eat out. Yeah. So I feel like when you're eating out and like a meal is already like super expensive on its own, and then you have to pay a tip of like $50 or $60, like it makes me like not even want to go to eat out anymore because I feel like it's taking away from the experience because I have to worry about like, oh my God, like I potentially have to like pay another full meal price.
Like what's the total bill?
Yeah. And then I feel like when I was in Asia or even in Europe, right? Like where tipping is not culture there, like you don't have to feel guilty for not tipping the right amount because like, you know that each worker is like taken care of by their employer, which is like how it should be.
Right.
And we just have to worry about the actual meal that we're paying for. But like, I just hate how it's like gotten to this point where like they're asking us for tip for like everything we do, like even for things that involve no service at all. And like, I don't want to feel like the bad guy for like pressing like, you know, no tip. And it's just, it's so uncomfortable. And then also I think it's super uncomfortable when they have like, you know how they give you like the scanning machine now to like tap in your card and like you sign the machine in front of them. Now I notice that like those machines, they'll, you know, sometimes you'll go to a place and they'll only have like super high tip options available. And then if you want to tip less, you have to press other.
Yeah, I always do. I'll do like $1. Sure. Maybe sometimes.
And it's just like, it's crazy. But like in those circumstances, I honestly feel so guilty. Like I always will just tip like the percent. But like, I hate that we're like forced to do that, you know?
Yeah. I think, I agree with you. I also find it really slimy and sus when, so in Seattle, so West Coast in general pays really well. The minimum wage in Seattle is $20 an hour.
oh my God.
Exactly. They're getting,
really good.
And like, service workers, it's just like better to be a service worker on the West Coast. And a lot of restaurants and, food establishments do like a mandatory 20% service charge baked in. And what I think is slimy is when they don't tell you. I think that like the waiter or waitress should always like tell you, and that's like the burden is on them to tell you. So I just, for me, it's annoying when they don't. And then I also just think like the burden shouldn't be to, cause to your point in Asia, I don't know about Asia, but maybe in Europe, like the workers are just like compensated fairly. Like they're maybe paid a fair minimum wage or what is it called? Whatever that term is. But why is the burden on like the consumer here to like close the gap and like tip the worker? I just don't understand that.
I know.
So I don't.
It's just too much. Too much.
And I think it's cool. Like if you want to tip cool again, to your point, I hate like the automatic prompts when you like Apple Pay to like tip in situations like you're at a cafe.
Yep.
And then I just always feel like super cheap to like hit no. And then I'm always like, and then I try to like exit the screen or like press forward. So like the barista doesn't see it. Like, I don't know. I just feel bad. Because now that it's normal to like provide a tip, especially when they're giving you an option, it does make me look relatively worse to not. So then
I know
I just
it
don't
makes
like
you feel horrible.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I just don't like how that's put on me. I don't
And
think
then the person behind you also can see what you're pressing.
100%.
And that makes me feel like horrible too.
Yep.
And Sorry, you just reminded me of something else. to your point. Well, first, 100%, I think it's super slimy when they include the 20%. Because I've actually, when I went to the West Coast,
did you double tip?
I double tipped.
Yeah, I've done that accidentally. Idea. Exactly, because they don't always tell you.
I had no idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I was so mad. I was like, 100%. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Because like, I just trust that they would be honest about these things.
Exactly.
I didn't even double check. But now after that happened, obviously, now I always double check.
Mm-hmm.
Something else about tipping culture that I feel like because it's gotten out of hand is it takes away our right to even tip someone because they've done a good job. Mm. Like, as in, I feel like tipping has always, like when we were younger, like maybe elementary school, or like even like up to middle school.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like tipping was like, oh, you wanted to tip somebody because like they did a really good service to you. Right. And then you would like tip them a little bit more. But now it's like, if the base tip is already 20%, 22%, like, like, are you supposed to be tipping like, I don't know, like over 30% to like recognize like hard work, you know, like, and I feel like I've had so many scenarios where I've gotten like the shittiest service, but like I've still tipped like 20% and above because like you just have no choice because that's like the default option.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I hate that. Like, it's just, I don't know. I just feel like it's just really, really bad now.
Yeah. Oh, side note, tangent. I feel like a hot take is like what people think is the base tip percentage that that they should give at restaurants, because I think like from what I've heard from friends, like our parents' generation are generally cheaper, and so like they grew up with like 15%, or maybe it was like they grew up with 10% maybe when they first moved to America, and then like over time like 15% became the new norm. However, like I feel like I always do at least minimum 18%. What about you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I always do minimum 18. I've actually noticed like my, when I go out with my dad, like he will tip less and I'll like always like tell him like you have to tip more, but I think they grew up with a different
mindset. Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Mm-hmm. So I maybe agree. They're the ones with the hot take when it comes to the amount or if there's any peers that
they
have.
They must be like horrified. That's why they don't go out to eat. Like my parents exactly. just only eat out.
Yeah. And then my last one is, okay, in general, or my... I don't know why I just said that. Okay. My last one is it's better to have an opinion versus none at all. And I saw this online and I was like, ooh, I resonate with that. I think for me specifically, I just think it's not interesting if you don't have an opinion and you can't like speak to it. It's fine if that's you genuinely don't have. What? I think it's... I think it's fine if you genuinely don't have a strong opinion about something. I don't have a strong opinion on everything, but like, I guess what I'm trying to say is like, I have opinions about everything, but there could be certain topics where I'm not definitive on like, this is exactly where I stand. If that makes sense. I'm not trying to like pick a side or take a stance, but like, it's good to still have opinions though. You know? That's what I mean. Yeah. So I just think sometimes people like either just like piggyback off of what the group is saying. So it's like either groupthink, or they don't want to like offend someone, or they're just trying to people like unclear what the driver is. But I just think it's like annoying if you can't just like vocalize what you think and like what your opinion is on something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree with that. Obviously. And this is why we're friends. Oh my God. I completely agree. I don't know what it is. I feel like maybe for Asians. Oh, actually something that I wrote down that wasn't a hot take, but something that I noticed, because now I'm in the city, I'm like, you know, meeting new people and like going to different things. But, well, first what I was going to say is I feel like maybe it's the Asian mentality, the way that we grew up, that we shouldn't be able to speak our minds. Cause like we would either get like yelled at by our parents or just like we weren't allowed to have an opinion. And maybe that's like kind of what's driven that kind of train of thought. Cause I feel like in general, especially for like a Chinese community, Chinese Christian community,
the Christian aspect too. Yeah.
People are so like just like meek. Like meek, I don't know. Like,
I was literally gonna say that. Yeah.
Like they are just like just afraid boring. To shake anything. Like they are, I'm just like,
if it's not like right.
I'm like, I just want to shake them and be like, who cares? Okay.
Yeah.
Just, because like who, no one cares. It's not
no one cares.
Serious.
Literally no one cares.
Like literally no one cares.
And if you're thinking it on the inside, just say it then, you know,
I know
that's the thing. They do have opinions sometimes.
Exactly. That's the thing. That's it bothers me because you can look at them in the eye and you know, they're thinking,
you know,
but they won't say it.
Yeah.
And like, it's just, it's just not adding anything to the conversation.
100%.
And it's just like, what's the point?
It's a fake conversation.
Like,
why are we even talking?
We might as well not even talk.
Literally.
Yeah. And like, I don't understand, because like, also, I feel like people are afraid to say the wrong thing.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like, people have to recognize there's no right answer.
No.
Like, everyone is trying to figure things out. Yes. Everyone has a different perspective.
Yes.
And like, we're
all again, you could change your mind in a couple years, and that's fine too.
Exactly.
People evolve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so many people are like, I feel like people also like are scared to like agree to disagree. Like, they almost feel like
100%.
There's so many arguments or debates where it's like the other person is like desperately trying to like convince the other person to come to their side, or like telling them like, you're wrong. Like, how could you possibly think those things? And I feel like that's very toxic, first of all, because I've been on the receiving end of that where I've been told like, that is the wrong thinking.
Yes. Yes.
And I'm like, that is toxic. Like, don't tell me how I should be thinking, because you have your right to think what you want to say and feel, but so do I. And there's no right or wrong. And like, I mean, unless there's like actually like a blanket white, like, you know, black and white thing, but like in general, like talking about just opinions, I feel like maybe that's another factor. And I don't know, it's just frustrating. I feel like, especially for like you and I, obviously people listening, like we have like very strong opinions and like we're passionate about certain things, but I feel like sometimes like people might view that as like, or at least for me, like they'll view it as like, oh my God, like Minnie always has something to say, or like, oh, like she's very passionate about, like, she like thinks very strongly about certain things. Like, even like our food rating, stuff like that, like, people will like give me flack about it. And I'm like, wait, but guys, like, I'm just saying like my opinion about it, and you can disagree with it. Totally. You're right. But like, I almost feel like because I'm very like vocal about how I feel about like food, for example, people take that as like, oh, I'm a super harsh critic. And I don't know. I feel like, cause even, you know, like, I obviously have a very strong like inkling towards like Korean food, and like, and even like giving like different ratings for food, I feel like I have my own personal taste buds and like my own preferences.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
And like, I just feel like people sometimes take that and they're like so offended. I feel like I've never gotten so many more comments about our like beignets rating. And I feel like I have to actively defend myself, but I just feel like people have like their own preferences of food, and some people might not care because they just generally will eat anything, and that's totally fair. But I also feel like because I do care, I shouldn't like, I don't know. I feel like I shouldn't be called a harsh critic just because I care about what I eat. Like, does that make any sense? I don't know. I just feel like because in general, like people don't like vocalize their opinions as much when someone does, especially in like a very like Asian Christian community, it's viewed differently.
Right. I think it's okay for you to, I think it's not so much people perceiving you as being a harsh critic, but it's like, they're making it seem like that in itself is negative.
Yeah.
I don't know. I almost feel like people are just, people can get put off when they feel like someone is sharing something that could be perceived as negative, because like they were maybe like raised to like not share negative things, or like they just like take it too personally. So they're reading into your opinion as being like an inherently negative thing. I don't know.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that makes sense. And I feel like, I mean, obviously like, I don't know. Cause I feel like now people view me as like, oh, I'm just like a super harsh critic. And it doesn't really bother me, cause it's like my close friends are saying, and I know it's a joke, but like, I feel like it's just funny, cause when I do post certain stories, like people respond and then they'll like give me a little bit of flack, or like they'll question like what's wrong with me, blah, blah, blah. But I'm like, but again, it's my opinion.
But it's just, you're entitled to your own.
And yeah. So
yeah, you're entitled to your own, regardless of like what's objective truth or not. You're not saying I'm objectively correct. You're literally just sharing your opinion.
Yes.
And,
exactly.
And so then I think, I don't know if it's, the Chinese Christian community, I don't know what it is. I feel like people tend to feel like they, like we have to agree.
Yes. Yep.
And so that's
like, there's only one right.
Exactly. Opinion. Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's like people are just very uncomfortable with like not dissonance, just when there's like a disparity, I guess, in belief. And maybe that does come from our very homogenous, insular community that a lot of like, your community and like a good portion of mine too were raised in, where it isn't like you do you, everyone's very different and diverse, because we all come from similar backgrounds. Majority of our lives, it's just, no, there is one right answer. There is one ideal, like, you know, approach. And so people are just like so put off and uncomfortable with something different. So I think there's like roots there for sure.
And then the thing that I was going to say that I learned in the city, or an observation that I picked up, is I noticed that like white people really aren't afraid to speak their mind or just like speak at all. And I like, cause I mean, I recently joined like this Bible study group for females, and like, and I told you about it, but I think what was fascinating to me is like, obviously I grew up in the church with a very like strong Asian presence. And even when we had small groups, like it would be, and for people who aren't Christian, small groups are basically like a smaller group of like people that get together on a weekday. Like, so maybe like 10 or like 10 to 15 people. And then you basically do like a book study of like the Bible or like whatever. Basically it's like a smaller group that meets together every single week.
Yeah.
And I feel like small groups were always like silent. Like you would have one leader lead something, like a discussion, or they ask a question like, hey, what did you guys think about like this?
Crickets.
And like, it's just like it's like so uncomfortable. Like everyone's staring at each other. Like, and then the leader is also uncomfortable because they don't want to force someone to like talk because everyone is like dreading that.
Yeah.
But then in this, like this Bible study, the group that I'm part of now, it's called BSF, but like, it's like 70% white people. And like, there's only like 4 Asians, including myself. And then there's like, everyone else is white. So there's like maybe like 10 to 15 white girls and everyone is super nice. But on top of that, I'm like in shock that the fact that like everybody is like actively sharing all the time.
Yeah.
Like they will, like the leader will ask a question immediately. People will share. They'll be like super vulnerable too. It's not even like, oh, they'll say something like super generic. Like they're really speaking from their heart. And like, it's like, I just feel like in, like, I don't even know how to like process it. Cause I've only grew up in the environment where like Asians are afraid to talk.
Just so scared. Yeah.
Yeah. And then even in small group, like we are checking out like a multi-ethnic one where again, like the, it's predominantly like white and like everybody again is just like actively sharing. Yeah. Like they're not scared at all. And then it's actually funny cause the only people who aren't actively sharing are the Asian people.
It's hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not concerned about like saying something wrong. Like the non-Asians or like coming off like poorly. They're just like speaking their truth. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I find it like, so I'm like amazed and I find it refreshing cause I also get something from it too. I'm like, wow, like I feel like I'm learning just from hearing their own stories and perspectives.
Right. Yeah.
And I like ask myself, like, cause I also find myself in those situations being where quieter. I'm like, being quieter. Yeah. I'm like scared to speak. And I've just been used to that kind of environment.
Right.
So yeah, that was just something that I noticed, that it wasn't a hot take, but like just to bring up.
That's a good point. And I also think like people 100% see that in the workplace too. Right. Like, I feel like even on TikTok, I always see like 100%. Minority females just always saying like, it's just hard to speak up. Like we weren't raised like that. And we were like, we're going to be quiet and think until we know we're saying something correct. You know?
Yes.
So, you know, you see it everywhere, I guess, like our roots.
Right. It really does spread everywhere.
Everywhere.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's sad, but
yeah.
Okay. So closing out this hot takes debate or topic discussion, my last hot take, actually I have more, but like this is the last one I'll end on, but my hot take is I find it so annoying when people post for Valentine's Day on social media. Like,
please elaborate. Define.
Yeah, let me give my reasoning. I don't want to, you know, no one come after me. And I'm not trying to hate on people, but like, it's just, okay. I feel like this year, okay. Well, you agreed with me on this. This year especially, I feel like everybody and their mom posted. Like it was like an exorbitant amount of posts on Valentine's Day. And the reason why I don't like it is one, nobody cares. Two, I feel like because I was a single gal, like it is just like annoying to see, as not like I was like a single person that was hating on people that were dating, but it's just like, it's just like too much. I feel like unless it's for like a specific, like, I don't know, maybe like some special circumstance Valentine's Day, like that's fine. But I just feel like this year, especially, it was like people were like digging up like anything to post. Like it wasn't even like something was happening. Like it was just like, I don't know, like they were digging up like pictures from like 10 years ago or like,
oh, I see.
Like the, you know, throwbacks. Like it was just like, yeah, like it was just like so excessive. And I think because everybody on my feed was posting, I don't know, I just found it like really annoying because it almost made me feel like people were posting because they felt like they had to post. Because
they saw everyone else post.
Yes. And that same thought applies to Mother's Day, Father's Day. Like I feel like I'm sorry, but like, does your mom have an Instagram? Okay, does your dad have an Instagram? I'm like, unless you are telling me they actively use Instagram, like, I just think it's so annoying when people post like, oh my God, happy like Mother's Day or like happy Father's Day, like, or happy birthday, mom, like write this huge long essay or whatever. And then I'm like, did you write that to your mom in person? Like, did you give her a card with those written words? Because I almost feel like people do that just so like other people can see that. And like, I don't know if they want like praise or like something from recognition from their peers.
Okay.
But like, I just find it like really, I don't know. It just annoys me. And I'm like scared to say these words. I don't know. I just feel like it's like
performative.
I don't know. I feel like, no, I just feel like it's almost like attention seeking. Like I don't understand the purpose of it.
Okay. Okay. Do like, you think if people posted the same types of posts, but just not on a holiday, would that bother you less?
No, I feel like if people want to post, like, I mean, ultimately people can post whatever they want to post, right? I think it's just like annoys me the fact that people seem to be posting just because they feel like they have to post.
Okay.
Like because Valentine's Day is like, you know,
a designated day of like a certain person.
Yeah.
But if it's so just like it doesn't feel organic to you.
Yeah. It feels very like forced.
Like there's an ulterior motive almost. Not ulterior motive, but like,
I don't know. Like almost like people are saying like, hey, I have a Valentine, or like, hey, like, you know, like my husband bought me flowers, or
like they're bragging,
sent me flowers.
Boasting. Kind of.
I don't know if it's like, I don't know what the right word is to use, because I don't think they're bragging per se, but it just seems like, it just seems like unnecessary. Like it just seems like they're
just excessive.
Like,
you said. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, okay. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. That is a hot take. and you just noticed it. Yeah. Well, you said you've always felt this way, but this year it like, you noticed it because of the amount that we saw come through.
Yeah. So, I mean, I feel that way about PDA too. Like apparently I'm the PDA police, but like, I just don't, I don't know. Maybe because
excessive
like
PDA in person.
Yeah. I just like, don't like it. And like, and cause like Phil is like super lovey dovey and he like wants to do PDA with me.
Yeah.
And like, and it's ironic. Fine, like when we're by ourselves, but like, I just feel like I don't want to do that in public or like around other people. Cause like, I don't know. It makes people feel like uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And, I just feel like there's no need for it. Like it doesn't add anything. It only like potentially could make someone uncomfortable. And I feel like because I've been on the receiving end or like, and I'm talking about like really like strong PDA, right? Like, like a lot of touching or like a lot of kissing or something like that. But like, obviously like if you hold hands, like walking, like I'm not going to like, you know, stop you. Like, what are you doing or whatever? But like, I guess it's more about the intent behind like what the purpose is.
Yeah. So, what about people who post a lot about like gushy things about their kids? Like, do you feel, I'm just curious. Like, no, I'm just saying like, if it bothers you to see someone post,
what do you mean gushy? Like what's the definition?
Just like whatever you're seeing that someone's posting about their love or whatever about their significant other. Like, what if it was like about their kid? Cause you mentioned it for, you know, your mom, your dad, your partner. What about like kid?
Yeah.
Like, would that impact you the same? Like, cause it's family. I don't know. Like it's a relative.
I don't know. I haven't processed an opinion about that. I feel like
haven't seen enough yet.
I haven't seen enough. I mean, I have definitely seen family posts and they haven't bothered me because I feel like it's very like, I think
how
the
is
family
that different
that I have seen, they've been very genuine. Like, it's not like,
okay.
It's not like saying like, oh my God, I have a baby, you know, like,
or like,
like it's just like, oh, like it was, you know, like my son's second birthday and like whatever, blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know why that doesn't bother me as much.
Okay.
Because it just doesn't seem like as forced.
Yeah.
But I think specifically the Valentine's thing definitely bothers me the most out of any of the holidays.
Like couple-y things.
Yeah. For Valentine's Day. Like, I mean, because obviously people Valentine's post
about their partner.
Couple. Yeah. But like throughout the year, which is fine. Like, actually, I don't know. Because I feel like the Mother's Day and the Father's Day thing bothers me.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm like, that's very different.
Yeah, I think it's because I know that like a lot of people that have posted it that I personally seen, like their parents are not on social media. So I'm like, what's the point? I'm like, why are you posting?
Like what your
are
you audience for? Shouldn't your audience just be like your partner is
yeah.
kind of, or like the person like, no, itself versus
your,
like,
yeah, like your
the
mom,
audience. Like, exactly. Like yes. that's the, I like the ideal audience, but like she's yeah. not even part of Instagram. So
yeah. So yeah. like, to me, I'm like, you're basically posting so everyone can see that like you're yeah. posting about your mom.
Mm.
So okay. that's what bothers me.
Like people who are posting, like an extreme version is just like, for some sort of clout or like for some sort of positive maybe perception of them.
Yeah.
Over like, yeah. it's just so it, that's why it doesn't feel as like genuine. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On that positive note.
Oh my God.
On that positive note. Thanks so much for listening to this episode, everyone. Because I gotta go, so we're wrapping this up. As always, Minnie and I are looking for new topics to discuss on the podcast. And I mean, if you want us to do a part two of hot takes, or we can do whatever is the positive version of it, positive hot takes,
yeah,
we can do that. But if there's anything specific you'd want to hear about, let us know on our Instagram. Our handle is Relatively Asian. We'll talk to you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.